I invite you just to bow your heads as we invite the Holy Spirit to teach us from the words of Scripture this morning. Almighty Father, as we come before you today, we invite your Holy Spirit to come into our lives. We invite you to come and to bless us with understanding and clarity of heart and mind as we study your word. Please speak to us, and may the prayer of our hearts be, Lord, open our eyes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever known someone who was totally blind? Totally blind, not able to see even the smallest bit of light. For 51 years, a man named Bob Edens was totally blind. He couldn't see a single thing. His world was a black hallway, a corridor of just sounds and smells and things that he touched. He felt his way along for 5 decades through the darkness. And then, all of a sudden, he could see. A skilled surgeon performed, after years of study and research, a very complicated operation, and for the first time, Bob Edens had sight. Can you imagine what it would be like? 51 years of life haven't been able to see anything. And then all of a sudden to have all the sights and colors beam into your brain through your eyes. Bob Edens had sight and he found it overwhelming. And I quote his words, as this is a true story. He said, "I never would have dreamed that yellow is so yellow." And he says, "I don't have the words. I am amazed by yellow." But he says, "Red is my favorite color. I just can't believe red. I can see the shape of the moon. And I like nothing better than to see a jet flying across the sky, leaving a vapor trail." And of course, he says, "Sunrises and sunsets. And at night," he says, "I look at the stars in the sky and the flashing lights. You could never know how wonderful everything is." What would that experience be like? To be totally blind your entire life and then to be able to see. There was a man in the time of the Bible who sat along the Jericho Road. Our sermon series over the next several weeks is entitled Lessons from the Jericho Road. There are times in the Bible when you read certain accounts and you recognize, hey, that happened in this city, and something else happened somewhere else. But there are multiple times in the Scripture where something powerful, something amazing took place near or by or on the road to or from the city of Jericho. And so we're going to look for the next several weeks at some lessons that we learn from what happened in and around the city of Jericho. There was a man who was blind on the roadway to Jericho. And I invite you to take your Bibles to Mark chapter 10 as we take a look at his story this morning. Mark chapter 10, and we'll read verses 46 and following, the story of a man named Bartimaeus, a man who sat along the side of the Jericho Road, who knew what it was like, similar as Bob Edens, to be blind and then one day to be able to see with perfect clarity. But the only difference between Bob Edens' story and blind Bartimaeus' story is that it did not take a complicated operation. Bartimaeus was simply spoken to by Jesus. I want you to notice Mark chapter 10, we're starting to read now in verse 46. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, saying, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call for the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said to him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, followed Jesus in the way. I'd like to go back and take a look at several of the verses of this story and kind of pick out some information that comes to us as Jesus inspires the writer Mark to record this account. We find in verse 46, as this passage opens up, it tells us that outside of Jericho, on the roadway to Jericho, a man named Bartimaeus sat begging because he was a blind man. He was sitting by the side of the road. He was asking other people to take care of him. He was pleading with people as they walked along, and as he heard the footsteps and as he heard the multitude coming by, he's begging for them to do something to benefit him. He's a man who has great need. He's a man who can't provide for himself. He's a man that is unable to work. He's unable perhaps to have a family. He's unable to perhaps to live a normal life because he is blind. He manages to scrounge some things together, enough resources to have made it through the years of his life. Obviously, someone has been taking care of him. He's received some alms from those that pass by as he stands there begging, sits there begging. Others have supported him, but really, if we were to categorize his experience, we might say his life was miserable. Sitting out on the roadside, begging for others to provide for him, not being able to see, having no idea who was doing what or who was close or who wasn't. A miserable experience, dark, inability to see, and nothing he could do about it. A problem with his sight. Blindness. What is that really like? Blindness. Total blindness, according to definitions, is the complete lack of form and visual light perception. Clinically, it's called NLP, meaning no light perception. Not even a little bit of light can get in to be truly classed as totally blind. And as I read this story and I consider Bartimaeus and I consider even what the definition of total blindness is, I wonder sometimes, are we blind? Are people today blind? Do we have a sight problem? Could it be that there is a spiritual eyesight problem among the people of God today? In fact, Jesus tells us that many of us in the church, many of us living in the last days before Jesus comes again, are actually spiritually blind. It's a problem that we have that affects our entire existence. We have a problem seeing the spiritual realities of the world around us. And many times, recognizing in Scripture that light is truth, we also have no light perception. Sometimes the people today, sometimes even us in the church of God, don't perceive God's truth. Sometimes we don't understand God's working or God's leading. Revelation chapter 3 is a passage that I'm thinking about, and if you'd like to turn there in reference to it, feel free. Jesus is rebuking a church called Laodicea. Now, Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are made up of seven individual messages to seven individual churches. Those seven churches were churches of Asia Minor, the area where the Christian church had its greatest growth in the early first and second centuries. And we find that as God speaks through the prophet John to these seven churches, it was a message directly to the people of that day, because the book of Revelation was written to be distributed to the Christians living in the first, latter part of the first and early part of the second century. However, we recognize that the book of Revelation is not like other books of the Bible. It's not a narrative. It's not just a book of stories. It's a book of prophecy. And God was using the message of Revelation 2 and 3, the message to seven real churches that existed back then, to actually give a message about the experience of the entire time period of Christian history. Seven periods of time, seven Christian eras, so to speak, when the church was in one form or another, was really, things were really positive or not so great. But we see that as we read Revelations chapter 2 and 3. But here at the end of chapter 3, the final seventh church on that circuit of churches, the church of Laodicea. And Laodicea receives no commendations by God. There's no positive message to them. There's nothing to praise the Lord about happening in Laodicea. In fact, God comes through the prophet and writes and says to them that they are neither hot or cold. In fact, he says, you are lukewarm. And God says, that actually makes me sick. I don't want you to be lukewarm. I don't want you to be kind of in between, one foot here, one foot there, a part in faith and a part out of faith. God says, I wish that you were hot or cold. And he says, your condition, Church of Laodicea, your condition is rich. You're increased with goods, and you feel like you have need of nothing. But Jesus tells them the truth in that message to the church of Laodicea, which is found in verses 15 and to 17. He says to them in truth, you know, Jesus never tells a lie. And he says to the church, he says, you feel that you're rich and increased with goods and you don't have a need of anything, but let me tell you what you are actually like, he says. He says, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It's a pretty strong message. It's probably one of the stronger messages of the seven churches. The church of Laodicea, we understand, represents the people of God living in the very last generation of Christian history. Guess who lives there also? We do. There's a possibility that what God has said to the church of Laodicea might actually apply to us today. And God says the situation is wretched, miserable, poor. Are we that bad? But I want to highlight for the purpose of today's study that God says blind. Blind. This church at the end of time doesn't see things very clearly. This church at the end of time hasn't got clear vision. The church of Laodicea living at the end of time indicates that there's a message of truth here to us. There might be a rebuke even here for us as a corporate body, perhaps even individually. This particular people is blind, but it doesn't even know that it is. Now, we remember the story of Bob Edens that we opened with today. Bob Edens knew he was blind. Bartimaeus on the side of the highway, Bartimaeus knew he was blind because of the effects it had on his life. He was poor. He had to sit on the roadside and beg and ask for people to help him. But Laodicea, a rich church, a church with resources, a church with some status, a church with some opportunities, God said, you're not even seeing clearly. You're not seeing clearly. You're blind. I wonder if there could be any connection to our experience today. Bartimaeus couldn't see a single thing. He knew that that was the case. But on the day when Jesus was coming out of the city of Jericho, Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus on the pathway, Jesus on the Jericho road. And so Bartimaeus steps back and realizes, wow, there's a possibility here for me. So I'm going to do something. He says, I'm going to call out, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now this wasn't just any cry. This wasn't just the noise of the multitude. This was the cry of a man who understood prophecy. This was the cry of a man who recognized that Jesus was Messiah, because to call any individual son of David was not the title you gave just to any common man. The son of David was the one prophesied, the very Messiah spoken of in messianic prophecy of Scripture. And here is Bartimaeus on the roadside saying, if anybody can help me, it's Jesus. Thou son of David, Messiah, Savior, anointed one, Redeemer, come and have mercy on me. And verse 49 of Mark 10 tells us that Jesus did something. Jesus stood still. Now, if you study the book of Mark, you will realize that Mark's gospel is different than the other gospels because Mark has Jesus constantly moving. compare them when you have the opportunity to read them through. But in Mark, Jesus is going here, Jesus is doing that. Jesus is coming from there, going here, moving this way, moving that way. Mark uses the word immediately more than any of the other gospel writers. Immediately Jesus did this. Immediately this was the result. It's a gospel of action. Jesus is a man of action in Mark's gospel. So what's interesting is that Mark takes the time to say that this Jesus who is constantly on the move stopped and stood still. The man of action can stand still. There's rarely a time when Jesus wasn't on his way somewhere or doing something to minister to someone else. But I want you to recognize this morning, as Mark seems to want us to notice, that Jesus is not too busy to stand still for us. For the blind on the side of the highway of life, the one who can't see, the one who needs the ministry and the mercy of God, Jesus is not too busy. Jesus is not so full of action that he can't stop and listen to the call of one single child of his. Jesus stood still. I wonder today if the church of God takes the time to stand still and hear the cries of those on the highway of life by us. Do we as a people today stop and hear the cry? Do we hear the needs of those around us? Do we stop and stand still, or are we rushing by more willing to get where we're going and accomplish what we're doing than to be hindered by the cry of someone else? Jesus wasn't. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, the Bible says. And when a blind man is sitting by the side of the road with his hat out, and there's a few small coins that get thrown into that hat as you walk by, and you toss your coins in there, and they clink together with the other coins, you can see the countenance changing of the man who's received the gift. Maybe you've not had that privilege of walking by someone on a roadside in a big city somewhere and have them, whether playing a guitar or an accordion or something, or simply begging on the roadside and throwing in $1 or $2 along the way and having that money hit that bottom of that container and sound off the other money, and you can watch the change of countenance. Someone realizes that someone took the time to help me. And the countenance changes, the smile comes, the eyes, if they work, look up and connect with yours. It's a beautiful experience. And so you can imagine that Bartimaeus gave a smile like that every now and again because someone had taken care of him. But now on this particular day, "Son of David, have mercy on me," he cries out. There's no sound of coins in the hat. But what he hears is the sound of a voice. He hears the sound of one who calls out to him to come near. Someone repeated the message to him and they say, "He's calling for you." What would it be like in Bartimaeus' situation, in blindness, in darkness, to have heard the voice of one who we know can make a difference, calling us to come near? And Bartimaeus wants to get there. He heard the cry. Jesus heard the cry of this man. And Bartimaeus now is called to come over. And Jesus does that in our lives as well. When Jesus stands still and hears the cry that's coming from the roadside, Jesus will call us to come near to himself. Jesus doesn't want to keep a distance between us. He wants us to come close together. And he calls us for hope and for encouragement. Notice verse 50. Mark 10, and he, that's Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now the poor man gets up and casts away his garment. Now that garment wasn't his full clothing. He didn't get up and become naked because of throwing that away. But this was the extra garment. This would have been the loose outer cloak or coat that he would have had. Something that he had with him in case of a circumstantial need. You know, things like a quick downpour of rain. You want to cover up. Or a cold wind that would blow in from the north. This was his garment. This is what he had to be able to help himself. This was Bartimaeus' only resource, apart from the few shekels that he got to buy his food each day. This garment, this would have been his protection. This would have been his livelihood in many regards. But as he is getting ready to go to Jesus, Bartimaeus tosses it aside. Bartimaeus takes what he had for himself to be able to care and protect himself, and lays it aside on his journey to where Jesus was. I think there's a lesson there. Bartimaeus didn't want to be hindered in getting to Jesus. I mean, remember, he still can't see. And so this long, dangly cloak or coat or this robe or however he had it with him, he says, I've got to get rid of this thing. I might trip. I might fall. It might become a hindrance to me in some way. He says, I throw that thing aside as I'm working to get to Jesus. And I wonder how applicable the example of Bartimaeus might be for us, considering that he threw that aside. What is it that we carry around with us? What is it that we have that is our resource to take care of ourselves? To cover ourselves up when the wind gets cold. Or to cover ourselves up and protect us from that downpour of rain. Now, you know I'm not talking physically. What do we have? What do we carry in our spiritual lives? That's our protection for us. Is it that defense mechanism that we put up when someone offends us? Or if something doesn't go the way we had planned, is it that way we respond? Is it the way we answer someone who we didn't like what they said and we kind of sharp it back? What do we have that we use to protect and defend? What is it that we have in our hands that's ours? It might be a hindrance getting to Jesus. Bartimaeus decided he needed to throw it aside because he believed something was about to happen. And he does that, and the Bible actually tells us that we probably need to do the same thing. Whatever it is we're holding on to, whatever weights that we have to keep us down, whatever hindrances or obstacles that we have gathered about ourselves, we need to be willing to do the same thing the blind man did. We need to be willing to throw it aside. We need to cast aside the garment of our own self-sufficiency and our own pride. And as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us, we need to lay aside or cast aside the sin that easily besets us. Only then, when we have cast it aside, only when Bartimaeus laid that cloak to one side of the roadway, could he run the race with patience right to Jesus Christ. And verse 51 tells us that as he came to Jesus, Jesus spoke to him and said, "What will you that I should do for you?" Simply put, Bartimaeus, what do you want? What do you want? Bartimaeus knew the answer. Wasn't any hesitation on his part. He knew what he needed. He knew what he wanted. He knew the reason that he had been calling out from the roadside. He knew what had hindered him for so long. He knew what was the cause of him having to beg and sit in corridor of darkness his whole life. He knew that it was blindness, so he knew what the answer to Jesus' question should be. He says, as he looks up, at least tips his head up to where Jesus was calling from, he says, "Lord," and I try to envision him kind of tapping his face, "Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, open my eyes." That's the request. That's the prayer. It's simple. It's short. It was clear and to the point. And you know, with that, Jesus didn't touch him. Not because he was dirty or unclean, but Jesus simply spoke back to him and said that according to his faith, so it would be done unto him. And notice he said, "Your faith is making you whole. You have believed. You have called out. You have recognized who I am. You have recognized the power that is available. And because you believe, so be it unto you as you have desired." And the result? It's in the last part of verse 52. Immediately, there's Mark again with his quickness, right? Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We can't leave that without commenting on that. When Bartimaeus began to see, he went somewhere. He acted. He did something. He didn't say, "Thanks, Jesus, I'm going to go live my way now." The blessing of God had given a man sight. And now the seeing man could intelligently and carefully and wonderfully follow Jesus in the same pathway that he was following, right in the very footsteps of the Master. Bartimaeus said, Lord, open my eyes. Jesus responded and said, if you believe, you will see. And indeed he did. And the scripture says he followed Jesus in the way. A man born blind. A man who couldn't see. A man who was in a horrible position. A miserable existence. He called out to Jesus and prayed for mercy. Lord, open my eyes. And by faith, it took place. A man went from blindness to sight, from darkness to light because of an encounter with Jesus and the placement of faith and trust in what Jesus could do for him. And he followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. Our prayer should be the same prayer today. The prayer of Laodicea should be the same prayer as was that of Bartimaeus. Open our eyes, Lord. Jesus has already testified and said, the church living in the last days, the church right before I come back, cannot see. That's a problem. But Bartimaeus gives us an example. Bartimaeus' experience gives the church of God in these last days, gives the church of Laodicea hope, because we can pray to see. And Jesus wants us to see. His ability, Bartimaeus' ability to follow Jesus was granted, and his understanding of how to go was granted after he had come to Jesus, prayed to receive sight, and the miracle took place. With open eyes in our experience, we will know the way that we need to go. With open eyes in our experience, we will know how to follow the leading of Jesus. With open eyes in our experience, we'll be able to do as Jesus did, to minister as Jesus would have us minister. And we actually will have a part, as amazing as it is, in helping other people to have open eyes. But first, we've got to have open eyes ourselves. For Bartimaeus, he called out to Jesus because he knew that he had a need. He knew that he was blind. And yet for the Laodiceans who need spiritual eyesight and are just learning in Revelation 3 about their condition, Jesus instructs them to ask for something, some medicine for bad eyes. Jesus says to ask him for eye salve that we may see. Jesus is also the one who said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Now think back with me a moment in the Garden of Eden. Satan had deceived Eve by telling her that if she would eat that fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that she would be blessed in some way, wasn't she? He was deceiving her. He said, if you eat from this tree, then your eyes will be, and you will be like God. Your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. It was a lie. It was a wicked lie. It was a lie that started sin in our world because it confused Eve and caused her to be deceived. And she made a choice, followed by Adam, to take our world down into the depths of sin. Eve listened to the temptation of the enemy, and however, she didn't get what she wanted. Now, her eyes were open, but she didn't become like God because of that. She actually became more like the one who had tempted her. Her eyes were open to all the evil and all the sin and all the pride and all the selfishness that she could get her hands on. It was a devastation to humanity to listen to the tempter to have open eyes. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, it says that the man who walks contrary to the will of God, as our first parents did, it says they cannot see because darkness has blinded their eyes. Sin keeps the eyes closed, and sin, far being from anything that Satan had said it would be, turns out to be the most incurable curse that this world has ever seen, incurable from a human perspective. Sin brings darkness, and darkness has blinded the eyes of God's people, but God wants us to see. There is hope for the blind. Sin keeps our eyes closed, but a Savior can open them. He who is blind in a physical way is incapable of distinguishing the tints of the flowers, and the things of beauty are nothing to him. The beautiful canvas of the heavens, the stars marshaled in their order, the solemn beauty of the sun, the moon are not seen, their forms are not discerned. These are what blind people miss out on. Thus it is Spirit of Prophecy tells us, with the man who closes his eyes to light and knowledge, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The man who refuses to have his understanding quickened by the Spirit of God is in a state of blindness. Notice there's a choice involved here. We have a part, perhaps, in staying blind. It says, what a dreadful thing is willful spiritual blindness. Some are willingly blind. That is, if they've chosen purposefully not to see. It happens when we refuse to allow the Spirit of God to come into our minds and hearts, and yet others are walking about in the state of blindness, and they don't see spiritual things because they've never asked to have their eyes open. They just never have taken advantage of what's available to them. And maybe that's the case of some in the Church of God today. We need to ask for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask that God would open their eyes. Do you remember the story in the Old Testament? Israel was at war with one of the surrounding nations in 2 Kings chapter 6. And as the Syrians came in and attacked, they encompassed the city around. They were actually trying to get Elisha. They wanted the prophet because this was one who was kind of giving away the secrets, you know, to the army of Israel. And they surrounded the thing, and Elisha was not in the least bit concerned. But he had a servant that was with him, and the servant was becoming very fearful and so uncertain because he saw that the enemies out around the city on all sides. And Elisha said to him, in my modern paraphrase, don't be afraid, because those who are with us are more than those who are with them. He's like, what are you talking about? Look at all the armies and the chariots outside there. Elisha said a simple prayer, Lord, open his eyes so that he can see. And with that, the miracle of this man's eyes, his spiritual vision was opened, and he was able to see chariots of fire manned by angels of heaven who excel in strength, surrounding the city in protection of God's servant. Lord, open our eyes that we would see. I want to put in a small thought here before we turn to a close. This book is God's Word. It is with the aid of this book, and combined with the aid of the Spirit of God, that we will know and see the things we need to know and see in these last days. However, if we are not asking for spiritual vision, every time we sit down and open these sacred pages, we will not see. We've already read that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. When the pages of Scripture are open, God is ready. He's right there. He is willing, but He needs to hear the prayer from your heart. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see what wonderful things you have in your Word. No man, we are told, can have insight into the Word of God without the illumination of the Spirit. We need that heavenly light so that we can see. As Seventh-day Adventists living in the end of time, we cannot put all of our eggs, so to speak, in the basket of our denominational identity simply because we have our name on a membership roll. My name on the roll of this congregation or any congregation doesn't open my eyes. It is only the Spirit of God that can open our eyes in these days. And we are living in a time when we don't have any extra time to play with. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have any extra time. We need open eyes today. We need to see what God wants us to see today. Because He's about to come, and there's an awful lot of blind people in this world who we can have a part in helping to see. Today, I thank God for the promise that He has given that He can open blind eyes. Psalm 146, as we draw to a close, David magnifies the Lord for all the wonderful things that God can do, all the wonderful things that He has given, everything that God is like, and David actually highlights some of those. He says, God executes judgment for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He says that the Lord looses prisoners. He raises up the bowed down. He preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. That's in verses 7 to 9. And then right there in the middle of all of those magnificent and wonderful things that God does, David mentions something in verse 8. He says, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. It is true, my friends, that God opens blind eyes. He opens spiritual eyes in Israel. He opened physical eyes along the Jericho Road. And it is a lesson for us. It is a lesson for Laodicea that God today has the ability to open spiritual eyes again. We need our spiritual eyes open this morning, our self-sufficiency put aside. We need to come to Jesus. We need to pray the prayer of Bartimaeus and say, Lord, open our eyes. We need the eye salve that is offered to Laodicea that we may see the spiritual realities of our lives. And you know what God is going to do with you and me when we pray that prayer? God is going to give us a ministry of opening blind eyes. God is going to work with us. How do we know that? He gave it to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. God called him to co-labor with Christ, and a part of that ministry was opening their eyes, turning them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And this morning, brothers and sisters, that's what it's all about. That's what the lesson for us in God's Word today is all about. God wants us to see so that we can lead others to the source of sight and light. I don't want to be like Eve, listening to the temptations, listening to the calls of the enemy, seeing all that I can about sin and evil. No, I don't want to be like her at all. I want to be like Bartimaeus, who came to Jesus and said, I want to see. Scripture reading that we read today was from Psalm 119, verse 18, and there's a prayer there for us. The prayer says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Bob Edens was blind for 51 years, and he didn't see a thing. But after a complicated operation and the work of a skillful surgeon, Bob Edens could see again, and he beheld wondrous things. He said that he was captivated by simple things such as yellow and red, and sunrises and sunsets, the moon and the stars. And when his eyes were open, all of the physical works of God were clearly seen. But today, the promised blessing for each one of us is the same. We can pray the prayer of Bartimaeus, Lord, open my eyes, and God will reveal wondrous things out of his law, out of his truth, out of his word, and we will, out of his plan of salvation for your life, and he will leave you speechless. You will marvel. Not so much in how yellow is, but you will marvel rather in how loving love really is and how true truth really is and how magnificent the plan of God is for your life. So today I invite you to pray the prayer, Lord, open my eyes that I may see.